blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 19, stanzas 1 through 4. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? 1-4 of Psalter 19. Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and there of chapter 26. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 57 to the end. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose, and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? Which is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, our Maker, our Creator, And may it be also our Redeemer, our Savior, Thou who givest unto us life and health and strength, that we may come up in this beautiful Sabbath day to Thy house of prayer. And then it seems so contradictory, for there are those also in our midst that do mourn, who have stood at an open grave in the day of yesterday, whose loved one has been taken away, and another that must stand before that open grave in the week to come. And thus all our sin is made evident in all of the punishments, in all of the tribulations and trials that are laid upon us in this world. And when we see all about us that truth of Thy holy word, that we also must die and enter into that eternal world, an eternal world of spirits where our bodies also will arise and go to. Oh, that we may be given consideration, that we may not be as an animal that does look upon the dead and goeth on unchanged, but wilt Thou give unto us a saving impressions in our hearts, and that it might affect us, that we may be born again. O Lord, we are so dead, we are so cleaving unto this world, and all that is carnal, and all the reality of the spiritual things, we consider by nature to be nothing, and all the things that are here below we consider to be everything. And so we have turned it, and by the instigation of the liar from beneath, all upside down. Oh, that Thou may teach us the truth, O Lord, in our hearts, that we might be born again, and that we may receive that Spirit that goes forth as the wind, and that it may work also amongst us. And our dear children, we know not how, going hither and thither. But Lord, Thou dost direct it, and we can only beseech Thee that Thou would send forth that Spirit also in this hour. For when we may ask it of Thee, then in the same moments Thou art able to send Him forth and to dwell among us here in Thy holy house of prayer. Oh, that it might be, that our hearts this day would be, as Thy servant of old did say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Oh, that needs to be planted in our heart for the first time or by renewal. That, O Lord, is from Thee, that is from Thy Spirit, and we need to see the beauty of Thy Zion, and we need to see the strength of Thy Jerusalem, that mount that shall never be moved. Oh, that we may go up unto it with desire in our hearts, that new Jerusalem, oh, that Thou would show it unto us, Lord, a little glimpse thereof, that we might see that beauty that supersedes all the beauty and the glory and the majesty, and that is able to be seen and to be enjoyed in the midst of this world. Oh, that Thou may show to us what we have left in that deep fall in paradise, and that we have left Thee, O Lord, and that we might have a desire to return unto Thee. Thou alone can place it in our heart. Oh, give it unto us, each and every one. Show unto us that we cannot stand before Thee. Oh, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark our iniquities, oh, Lord, who shall stand?
but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And it is all bought by thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, thou hast accomplished it all on that cursed tree so long ago now. Oh, that it might be brought into our hearts too, to be made effectual for us, O Lord, and our dear children, that we would not be left behind on that journey to that great eternity, but that we may be stopped upon our mad career. Take us, Lord, and for thy own account, take us by heart and by hand. Show unto us our wretchedness and our misery. Show unto us the great blessedness of thy Zion, that we might seek thee with all our heart, with all our strength, and with all of our mind, that the love of our hearts may be taken away from all the things that are in this world, and that they may be placed upon thee. Then it must come from thee, O Lord, for we do not first love thee, and we love thee not, but thou dost say that thy children do love thee, and because thou didst love them, O Lord, wilt thou remember us together. And we are all in that same place here upon the world, and we are all in the same wretchedness, and we are all in that same misery, because we all have one Father, and one Father Adam, and we are all his children, and we are all, and he is the covenant head of each one of us. All we have received from him, imputed by thee, that original guilt, and we have inherited from him all the pollution that lives in our souls. We cannot change it, O Lord. We deserve to be cut off and to be cast away from thee. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, both young and old, and that thou may give, and that we might fear thee with all our heart and with all our soul. And wilt thou remember the youth and the children, for they grow up in an evil time. Lord, show unto them the beauty of thy service. O give to them to know in the days of their youth, and to love the true and the living God. Help the teachers, help their parents, and give us all together the tender fear of thy name, that we may walk in all thy statutes and in all thine ordinances, and that we may hate and flee from sin, and that we may walk tenderly before thee, and that we may desire and need thy dear and only begotten Son. He is precious, O Lord, unto thee. Make him precious also unto each one of us, while we still walk here upon the face of this world. It is a short time, thou sayest, our days that are as an hand breadth. It is but a shadow. It is but a vapor. It comes and it disappears. And soon our life also will come and it will go. And then, Lord, we have to stand before thee. And who is able in his own strength, in his own righteousness? Oh, hast thou not sent thy dear and only begotten Son? And for such as we are, take reasons then out of thyself, Lord, to send thy Spirit to convince us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and to reveal unto us him who has taken away the sin of the world. Oh, the Lamb of God, oh, that we might see him precious, that we might see him suitable to our own case. Remember each one of thy children. Lord, thou knowest where they are, and they do not even know so often who that they are. Oh, they know not that they are thy child, then so often. And they need to beseech of thee, Lord, convert me. Oh, Lord, give me yet a new heart. And because there is so much evil within, and then it is so contradictory to the possession of thy grace. O Lord, that thou mayest lead thy children more and more to thy blessed footstool, to the foot of that cross wherein thou hast suffered for them, or that thou might show them what that sacrifice for sin has been, that they may also be given by thy Spirit to make use of him by that free and sovereign grace. O Lord, wilt thou give that blessed faith in exercise, wherein they may enjoy a little bit of thy grace that is as wide as the ocean, and wherein thy name does receive so much honor and so much glory. Then thou art lifted and exalted, O Lord, to the highest in the heart of thy people. Oh, do lead them more and more to that place. And wilt thou prepare them for that going forth over that last Jordan, and that they may desire more and more to leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and that they might appear without spot or wrinkle and before thee. Wilt thou remember us when we have no desire for these things, Lord, and our eyes need to be opened, and we need to be born again. Oh, that thou may remember those that have become old. Then around us more and more are falling away, those who are friends, those who are brothers, those who are sisters. And then more and more, and we have one foot already in the grave. And when the weaknesses of the body do creep upon us, and when we do feel the failings of the mind, Lord, that thou may give also in old age a blessed cry to thee, that thou would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Oh, give that confession, Lord, in all our guilt, that we have given all our young bones to the world, but that we may be yet looked upon in thy mercy, even if it must be, even as that thief upon the cross, in the last moments of his life, then it is still possible, O Lord, and when a man, when a woman, and may come on their old knees before thee, and to confess it all before thee, all the vanity, the carnality, and the evil that is within and without, then there is still mercy to be received amidst well-deserved wrath. Remember our own denomination. Look upon us when we hope to gather as a classis in the week to come. And we think especially of thy servant who is applying for the status of emeritus. Lord, thou hast given him many years when he may bring thy holy word. And now that time has come where he feels he must lay it down. And Lord, we ask of thee to go before him, that thou may bless him, that thou may remember him in all the affliction of the mind in a special way, and that thou would visit him with thy favor. Remember that congregation. Remember also our denomination. Wilt thou raise up men who are truly converted by thee, Lord? It must be thy own work. Wilt thou look upon our rising generation? Lord, who shall bring thy word in the time that thou still givest unto them? Oh, we beseech thee. Wilt thou give true conversions? Wilt thou raise up office bearers, elders and deacons, and ministers to go before us in the established churches, but also upon the mission fields? Wilt thou look upon us in this hour? Lord, help us to bring thy word. And wilt thou be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, as one that serveth that is so undeserved from our side? But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? For thou art worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 184, stanzas 1, 3, and 6 through 9. 1, 3, and 6 through 9 of 184. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand, deep waters o'er me roll. 1, 3, 6 through 9 of 184.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we read of the disciples of Christ and that they all forsook him and fled, that had been foretold to them. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. They did not believe that. But it happened. Do we believe what the Lord Jesus prophesies, what he says, what his word is? What were they offended in? They were offended by the fact that he gave himself to suffering and to death. That was the offense in that beginning life, because they were not expecting that. But now later, that same giving of himself that would become the very foundation of the salvation of their souls. Later, they would preach that. Not just Christ, Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. And that, he says, is the power and the wisdom of God. Thus, crucified on the cross. That is a seeming paradox, a seeming contradiction in this world. He is hanging on the cross. He is, we would say, defeated. But Paul says that this is the power of God. And thus the church, they are led. They are led from step to step, also into the necessity and the preciousness of that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text can be found in Matthew 26, and thereof the verses 63 and 64. Matthew 26, 63 and 64. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou wilt tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So far the words of our text, which speaks of Jesus' testimony before the Sanhedrin. First, a submissive silence, but Jesus held his peace, a submissive silence. Second, a faithful confession. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. A faithful confession. And third, a solemn prophecy. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. A solemn prophecy. Thus first, a submissive silence. But Jesus held his peace. Where is he? He is standing before the Sanhedrin. We read here, they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. They were waiting for him in the night, in the darkness. They were looking and waiting to do their dark and their evil work, all under the color of truth, under the color of piety. It is one thing for the world and for men in the world to do wickedness. It is another thing for the church or for a religious person to do wickedness and to hide it under the color, under the pretense of religion, to hide it under the pretense of truth or piety that is blasphemous. And yet it is so common. In the church also, very sadly, because we bring our wicked heart into the church, and a religious person who has a form does also still retain such an evil heart. Therefore, we must be watchful. We must be very vigilant. Christ had to endure this wickedness. He had to endure this wickedness within a church that he himself had instituted. These were rightly called the children of Abraham. And thus that church that has been broken down through the ages very disgracefully. And now we read that the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Thus, false witness. What is that? That is a liar. False witness. They are actually two words which are a contradiction right within that same expression, because a witness, he is there to establish truth. And truth is just the opposite of falsehood. So falsehood overturns truth, and truth overturns falsehood. So a false witness, what is that? That is nothing but a hypocrisy. That is nothing in itself but a lie. Truth is of God. Christ, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Christ says, I am the truth. And the devil, he is a liar. All lies are from hell. From hell. The Lord Jesus said of the devil that he is the father of lies. Thus he is the spring. He is the fountainhead of the lie. Does the lie ever arise in our heart? You know who is there then? The devil. In our heart. When the lie, do you ever think that? I will not speak just to boys and girls, but to each one of us, also to myself. Oh, does that lie? Does that lie, the temptation to lie, does that ever arise in our heart? Then we may know how close that the devil is. And what does the Lord say concerning the devil? James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil is the liar. He is the liar from the beginning. We see that in God's word, boys and girls. Oh, does that lie? Does that ever live in your heart already when we are young? Because the devil, he was there already in the very, very beginning. When the Lord just made Adam and Eve, then the devil was there. And he was there with his lie. And he lied about God. And he lied about what true happiness really is. And not only so, but he used the word of God. Or we would say, he came in a black suit. He took the word of God. He came as an angel of light, the word of God says, pretending to say what is true and trying to use that word of God. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And he needed to be corrected by Eve. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And then his lies, they became worse. Ye shall not surely die. Then he makes God himself the liar. But God is no liar. No, yesterday families, they have stood there at an open grave. Is the Lord a liar? No. Oh, that devil is a liar. Falsehood, that is a twisted entanglement. We see that here. They sought for false witness. That is pure wickedness. Because those false witnesses did not just come. No, but they sought for them. They were looking for them. Thus, in that place of judgment that it was supposed to be, then they are supposed to be looking for truth, and they were looking for falsehood. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And if you read in Mark, he says those false witnesses, they did not agree together. One said one thing, one said another thing, but they could not agree. Even when the judges were looking for that falsehood, but they could not even make their things to agree. It is never so of the truth, because there is only one truth. So if there is only one truth, the truth always agrees. But there are so many falsehoods, and so those falsehoods, they are in such great disagreement. How much work there is to do so often by those who desire to stand for the truth, to untangle a web of falsehood. Do you make that difficult, children, young people? Do you make that difficult for your father and mother? Because your father and mother, they have sometimes to untangle that web when you do not tell them the truth. When you tell them a falsehood, and now they have to try to untangle that, to see where that straight line is, where that truth is, and then you put a burden on your parents that does not belong, and your teachers. Do you then tell your teachers what the truth is? Or do you tell them what is a lie, what is falsehood? Because then they have much work to do. And that is true also of a consistory, how much the devil is looking to overturn the truth in false doctrines. And then it is a tangled web that you have to say, well, yes, that is true, but that is not true. And now the court. The court. They have especially a difficult task, because then there are persons that come and there is a disagreement. And where now is the truth in that court? And that judge, he has to now untangle that web of falsehood. See how much the lie, the devil, how much wickedness that the devil has brought into this world. Because falsehood, the overturning of truth, that is detrimental to the very existence and the welfare of all of mankind. What a grief for Christ when he had to stand in that Sanhedrin and there from the hands of office bearers in that church that he had instituted, Christ here has to suffer. His own word, the inspiration of his word of the prophets, and the words which he has spoken out of his own mouth, they are all being twisted there in his own judgment. And then it is all under the pretense of piety. It is all under the pretense of right. It is under the pretense of godliness and the kingdom of God. At last, two false witnesses. This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Well, you can look that up when you come home, children. John 2, verse 19. And see if that is really true. If that is what the Lord Jesus really said, I am able to destroy this temple and to build it in 3 days. He did not even say that. And they put words in his mouth. Because he said, destroy this temple. Did not speak of destroying that temple himself. He says, destroy this temple. You destroy this temple. And now they have taken his words. And they said, well, he said he can build. He did not say that. No, he said, and I will raise it up, just like the dead. As the dead, they are raised out of the grave. Oh, woe to those who intentionally take the word of God and to give it a meaning according to their own purpose, and not according to the meaning of that Spirit of the Lord. The devil works hard at that. Because, did you ever think, young people, because you get out a little more into the world now, and some of you go to university or college, and then you hear so many things, and you say, what is now true? And we have people, a professor, he is telling me things, and I know that is not true. And he has this to say and that to say. And now, do you ever say, what is truth? Who can I believe? You ever ask that? Are you ever so glad that you may come home and pick up the Bible, the Word of God, and you say, now here it is. Whatever men say in the whole world, this now I know is the truth. Are you ever glad of that? And now what Satan is doing, when he will make all the different versions of the Bible, so-called versions, they are not the Bible. No. I hope you will always stay with that faithful translation of that King James Version. But then the devil is trying to upend. He is trying to make that thing that we have, the only thing we have in the whole world that we can go back to and say, now that is truth. And the devil, he wants to take that away from us. That was happening already in that Sanhedrin. But Jesus held his peace. Why? Could he not answer? Did he not have an answer for all that came against him? Caiaphas, he rises up, we read, he says, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? He demands that he gives an answer. He demands that he begins to give a rebuttal. Against what? False witness. He wants to hear now what the Lord Jesus has to say. He wants to try to catch the Lord Jesus in his word. But he gets nothing. Jesus held his peace. Why? That was long ago foretold why. Thus, if Caiaphas had known what his Bible said, and he would go to Isaiah, then he would read that long ago this would take place by the very Messiah himself. that he may know who now is standing before him. Because Isaiah has prophesied of this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Young people, you believe the Bible? Isaiah, many, many years ago, by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord, oh, how perfectly, how exactly is it not? Fulfilled in that life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ gives no answer. Why? Oh, he has accepted the punishment of the iniquity of his people. He has accepted that. That was laid on him. It was laid on him by his own father. Oh, he was willing to endure the punishment that his people deserve. And thus the Lord Jesus does not begin to defend himself in that judgment. No, because he does not want to be let go. Just the opposite, we read that the Lord Jesus went toward his enemies. He said that in the garden, "Rise, let us be going, for he is at hand that doth betray me." And he goes toward them, not away from them. And what did he say to Peter? Peter is going to fight. "Put thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Oh, that was Christ. That was Christ in that judgment of the church, in that Sanhedrin. And now how is it for the church of Christ? Oh, when the Lord is bringing that people into the court, then the Lord is making them to accept the punishment of their iniquity when they are standing before their judge. David says, "Righteous art thou, O God, and upright are thy judgments." Upright. Oh, then the Lord can do with a man as he pleases. And you know what happens there in that court? Then our mouth goes shut. Our mouth goes shut. Then we do not argue anymore. Then we do not uphold ourselves anymore. But there a man accepts the punishment of his iniquity. And now you know what the Lord says. He says, if they will accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant. Oh, that is what is happening there in that covenant of grace. And the Lord is remembering his covenant. And when his son, that blessed surety, is coming to stand for that people in that court. But Jesus held his peace. Why? Because the witness of the law, that is against his church is not false witness. The witness of that law against his church, that is a true witness. Oh, that witness says that you deserve to go lost. That witness says that you deserve to die. Oh, may that church learn to see and to accept the punishment of their iniquity. And may they be given to see an eye of faith, to behold Christ here, when Christ held his peace before that Sanhedrin. But there is more. And why is there more? Because he did not always hold his peace. No, we see in our second thought, a faithful witness. It is not always appropriate. It is not always right that a man will be silent. Sometimes he is called. Sometimes he must speak. What do we read? And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Thus Christ is put under an oath. Were you ever put under an oath? Did you ever have to stand in the court? That is a serious thing. Never take that lightly when you are placed under oath, because when we are placed under oath, then we are placed, as it were, in the immediate presence of the all-seeing, the all-hearing, and the all-knowing God. Boys and girls, your mother and father, your teacher does not place you under an oath. No, no, no. That can only be done if it is very, very serious circumstances. But, when you come before mother and father or your teacher and you have to answer to them, then they're standing in the place actually of a judge. A judge. What answer do you give to them then? Or when they ask you, really it is in such a circumstance that they are standing in the place of God. Of God. Do you dare to give a lie? When they ask you, have you done it? Or have you not done it? Oh, that is a very serious thing. And now, especially when we are brought into a court and they are to lie under oath, that is what we call perjury. To swear that God sees me, that God hears me when I say this, and that what I say in these moments publicly before this court is the truth. Before an all-knowing God, and then to lie. And then to lie. Then we do not know what we are doing. Or that is a proof of our unbelief. And that we are coming with a daring boldness before the sight of that all-knowing God. It is to stamp upon our own conscience and call God to witness to our own lie, who is a God of truth and who will defend his truth. Oh, there is so much of this in our days, so much of this by men, by lawyers who are speaking for men. Oh, it seems sometimes that God does not know. But that is not true. That is not true. God does know. What did Christ do when he was placed under oath? Then he did not say, I'm not going to speak. No, no. Because a judge, he is placed there in the place of God, his Father. Then he does not refuse to speak, no. But he speaks the truth very plainly and very, very clearly that everyone is able to understand. Oh, the church does not have it declared more plainly in that word of God, because you can speak, you can look how the Lord Jesus has spoken about his divinity through those three years, and it was not yet his time, and he did not always speak so that the wicked could understand him. He spoke for the benefit of his people. But now in the court, Now in the court, he says it so very, very plainly. And now God's children, and when they are brought into that court, oh, they hear it so plainly from the mouth of that surety who is standing in that court, who that he is. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. That is the truth. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. We say a faithful witness, regardless of the consequences that he knew were coming. Even though he knew that he was going to suffer for it, that he was going to be condemned for that confession, that he was going to die for that confession, but he was in agreement with it for the sake of his church. Peter was lying. Peter was lying at the same time as Christ was testifying of the truth. Why did Peter lie? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Why do we lie? Oh, we lie because we don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer punishment. We don't want to suffer shame. There we say, we did not do it. When we did do it. And what did Peter say? Oh, Peter, he lied too. He lied too. It was in a different way, of course, but it was to evade suffering. And Christ, he tells the truth, and regardless of that suffering, oh, he says, Peter, I have told you before, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. You cannot endure this, Peter. You cannot stand in this place. You cannot stand in the judgment. No, I go for you, Peter. And you will not go towards suffering, but I will do it for you, Peter. Oh, how that human nature of man resists suffering. Oh, you can feel for Peter, right? I can feel for Peter when he is standing in that court. But Christ is also human. Christ is also human. He is not a sinful human being, but that human nature itself, as it was created, is resisting suffering. Can we not feel for him? Oh, I do not mean to pity him, because he is not a martyr. No, no, he is the Savior of the church of God. But to see a little bit of the strength, of that Son of God that he said that he was, that he can overcome the very strongest propensities of the human nature to hold on to their own life, and that he can give that life up as he is going to do upon that cross when he will bow his head and when he will give up the ghost. Thou hast said. And if I should say it is not true, I would be a liar. I would be a liar, Caiaphas, like unto you and to all your false witnesses. I would deny the Father. I would deny the Holy Ghost. And I would deny my own people. Let us sing 109. All four stanzas. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, and thou givest unto me. 1-4 of 109. Thank you. Our last thought, a solemn prophecy. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Christ was not afraid to declare who that he was, but certainly it was not very believable to mankind. Where was he? He was standing there in the Sanhedrin before that church court, the bar of the church court, and he was standing there bound before them, and he is declaring unto them that he is the Son of God. How believable is that, we would say, to men in this world? Can God be bound? Will God then stand at the judgment of men? Well, then it seems like it is nothing actually but mockery. There is nothing. There is nothing that the natural man can believe of what the Lord Jesus has said. Only faith. Only faith. Would we have believed it? But there is not so much faith in that room. Say, well, Peter is there. Peter is there. That is true. Does Peter have faith? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But that faith was not very well in exercise because of the fear of suffering, because of the fear of man. Are you ashamed of God? Are we ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ before the powers of this world? Are we afraid to suffer, even a cross look, a mocking word? Oh, how little do our eyes look straight on and our eyelids straight before us as we have to go through this world. Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. What is it? It is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ of the future. What does Christ do? He is looking further. He is looking past his humiliation. He is looking past the present circumstances. He is looking past his suffering. He is looking past his death. Further, he looks to the time of his exaltation. He speaks here about his second coming, when he is going to come in great power, in great glory, in great honor, upon the clouds of heaven, not as now. Oh, that is a strength to himself for his own suffering, that he may endure the cross, despising the shame, Paul says. Why? For the joy that was set before him. Thus he does not look down, no, but he looks up. He looks up to that joy. Oh, then his heart and his mind and his thoughts, they are all with his Father. They are with his Father. And what he is going to take with him, his church, out of this world, who he will deliver. Oh, that joy that is set before him. But that prophecy subjects him here below to mockery. Seeing his present state, seeing his present condition, men cannot believe it. But he is faithful. He is faithful in warning these Jews, despite what it looks like. Despite what they think of him. He says, you are going to see me with your own eyes. Your own eyes. Hereafter ye shall see with your own eyes, and it will be me in a different state than I am now. Were there people warned? No, they were not warned. They did not receive his warning, we should say. He he is accused of speaking blasphemy. He is guilty, they say, of death. They spit in his face, buffeted him, smote him, mocked him, prophesied unto us. Who is it that smote thee, if thou be the Christ, the Son of God? Congregation, that prophecy that was mocked by the Jews, but that prophecy is a great comfort for the true church of God. Especially seeing the circumstances under which that prophecy was made. Seeing that it seemed in an outward way so contradictory as the world, as the established church was mocking him. Oh, there is no entering into the kingdom of heaven but in following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, follow me, he says, and it will be through much tribulation. What does Christ do here? He teaches his church to look higher. He teaches his church to look further, beyond the suffering, beyond the trials. Oh, he says, look, just wait. He says, look to my coming again. Oh, lift up your heads, he says, for then your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, that is the instruction for his persecuted people. All the powers that be, they are all under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King. He is the King. He sits upon the throne, but it does not all appear to be so as yet. But that day is coming. Oh, there is so much in the world that seems contradictory. Maybe you think that sometimes. You say, the Bible says that Christ rules. He rules. How can that be? How can this be? How can that be? Where is the justice? Where is the judgment in this world? Oh, Isaiah, he complained of that already. Judgment, he says, is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Isaiah already, long ago, Isaiah complained that that did not take place even in the church of God. Truth, he says, that is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, he says, and he that doeth right, he that doeth truth, maketh himself a prey. The one that does right, he makes himself into a prey. Joseph did what was right. Right, young people? And what happened to him? For doing what was right, he got thrown into the prison. And Daniel? And Daniel, he is thrown into that lion's den. And Naboth, he is slain. Job, righteous man, feared God, eschewed evil. And the devil, oh, he is looking, how can I bring that man down? Because he was a man of truth. And Job, he may look past. Oh, after the time he speaks about worms, he says, after they destroyed his body, he says, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Whom I shall see, he says, and not another, whom mine eyes shall behold. Oh, he may look past all the suffering and all the temptations and all the devices of that prince of darkness. Oh, Satan's warfare hasn't stopped. No, that warfare goes on, and he raises hell against the truth of God. And he mocks. He mocks without, and he mocks within the heart of that people. But do you know what Christ says? He says, hereafter. Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Do you believe that? What do you think? Do you think that that is true? Do you ever think, Oh, shall that really happen? Shall that really happen? Shall this world really come to an end? Or shall everything continue as it has been from the beginning? That is the temptation that the devil puts in the heart of a man. But congregation, there is no excuse for our unbelief, because we have so many examples in the Word of God of the truth of the fulfillment of the prophecies. Oh, what a testimony. Even in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Read Isaiah 53 when you come home tonight. Read that and ask yourself, how is that now possible? That Isaiah wrote that before it happened. Oh, then you may believe. You may believe that the prophecies, oh, they are coming to pass. The Son of Man must suffer many things, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, at the hands of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and the third day rise again. And did it not happen? He said that beforehand. 3 days. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Oh, ye shall be offended because of me this night. Oh, they did not believe it. Disciples did not, but it happened. It happened exactly like the Lord Jesus said it was going to happen. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Oh, verily, verily, I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And, oh, exactly fulfilled. Because he knows the end from the beginning. It does not have to be history for him to tell to us what is going to happen. And what is now the only difference between all that the Lord Jesus has spoken and this prophecy, it is that it is not yet fulfilled. That is the only difference. It shall surely come to pass. Oh, it has come out of the lips of him who is truth. He says, I am the truth. Oh, judgment, judgment and justice that is promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not have to call one witness, because his eyes, they are, John said, they were like a flame of fire. He saw them. And then every liar and every lie that is living in our hearts, and the devil themselves, they are going to flee away from that judgment. Oh, what shall that be? When justice and judgment is done in this world, will we stand? Are we able to stand in that judgment? Oh, you say, I'm going to be condemned. Oh, yes. Oh, the Lord give to us to accept the punishment of our iniquity. But there is more justice that is coming. And you know what that justice is? That is justice for his Son. For his Son. For his only begotten Son, who has stood here in that judgment. And there is going to be justice done for him who was willing to give his life for the sake of his people. And the Father will say, now, my Son, I have promised you a people, a seed which shall serve thee, which shall serve me. And now in that day, that last day when he is appearing on the clouds of heaven, all then his people, they are going to be raised from the dead, and they will be given unto him as his blessed reward for that payment that they have made to take away all their guilt and to take away all their sin. That is the only foundation. That is the only basis of the salvation of the church of God. And Satan is going to fight against that people. is going to fight again. Do not think that you will be able to stop the warfare of the prince of darkness unto the youngest day of this world, especially if a people will stand for the truth, because the devil, he is the fountainhead of the lie. And when we will stand for the truth, then we can expect that we are going to be persecuted by that prince of darkness. And it seems so often that justice that is not done here below. Oh, let us be prepared for that, because justice will not be done here below. A church has to follow in the footsteps of their master. But there is another day coming, a day that he has spoken about. It is not yet, but it is coming, and it is coming soon. Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. O congregation, then it is going to be made evident. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou count us among that people? Our flesh flees from it, but thou didst go before us, O Lord, that we might follow thee willingly, faithfully, in the midst of the Meshech of this world, and that we might look to the end, at that hope, for that joy that is set before us too. Oh, count us, Lord, among thy people, the people of thy dear and only begotten Son. Increase his seed, Lord. He is so worthy of a great multitude. Oh, wilt thou count young and old amongst us, Lord, that are sitting here today. Oh, that thou wouldst take of thy Spirit and give to us true regeneration and make us warriors to follow him who went before. Oh, grant us what we stand in need of in the rest of this day, meditation upon thy word of truth, that we might seek in the writings of those who have written of thy truth, and that we might seek with a prayer and with a desire in our heart, and that we also may be numbered among thy people. And look upon us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. Spare us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Be with those that must stand by an open grave. Help all that are afflicted and needy in the midst of this world. Help us in our classes meeting. Forgive all of our iniquities. For Jesus' sake, amen. 92, 1, 4, 7, and 8. Be thou my helper in the strife. O Lord, my strong defender be. In thy mighty shield protect my life. In thy spear confront the enemy. 1, 4, 7, and 8 of Psalter 92. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.